Lecture and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Nurture and Support. This is episode 129. We've been away for a while because I've been having technical issues yet again, but hopefully this works. I am, as always, Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter.
And I'm a super, super happy Kelly Tuhl at KellyTuhl on Twitter. Because when it comes to doing recommendation shows, Mel, I really like doing them with you. Better than with some other people, let's just say.
I don't know. I could start getting kind of risque like some other people. I can throw out some bad language. I have really bad language. But not in this episode today.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it'll be nice to have a non-explicit podcast go out again. That's nice.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see.
Let's see. My recommendation today is also another podcast, and they don't have, of 46 episodes, I think they have one that's been marked explicit. This podcast is really fun. I've been pretty new to it. It's called Wolf 359, and it's one of the audio drama, audio fiction podcasts that I really enjoy these days. This one is science fiction based. It follows a communications officer named Doug Eiffel, who is on a space station that is orbiting I think it's supposed to be a red dwarf called Wolf 359. And this huge station only has two other people besides Doug on it, and that's Captain Minkowski and a crazy mad Russian scientist named Dr. Hilbert. Now, during the course of these episodes, you may or may not discover if Dr. Hilbert is experimenting on Doug without Doug's permission, but it's a really fun podcast. Doug is our main character, though it really does, as the episodes go on, you branch out and really get a feel for the rest of the cast. But Doug's a little mired in pop culture. He litters every conversation with every pop culture reference he can find or even possibly think of. And he is incredibly, incredibly bored on the station, and he is incredibly incompetent at his job. So you have lots of fun with the things that Doug messes up and what they have to do to fix them. There's also an AI that controls the station called Hera. And unlike what you might expect in this situation, Hera has a fully formed personality. She's sarcastic. And as the show goes on, Hera starts malfunctioning possibly a little bit and possibly is plotting the death of the crew as far as her programming will allow her. It's, you know, a fantasy she has in her downtime. So it's really, really, really entertaining. It's been going on for a couple of seasons now. Like I mentioned, there are 46 episodes. The last episode came out around Christmas, and I think that ended this last season. And just so you're not shocked, because I think anybody that listens to this will really enjoy it, they're not having another season, I believe, until June. And it's going to be the last one. But there's a lot of episodes to go through at this point, so it'll take you a little while to catch up. You know, since I found out it was going to end, I really slowed down on my binging to savor it and eke it out a little bit longer. All sorts of crazy conspiracies are going on this station. You find out that this is not like you would think that some government sent them up there. It very much seems as if possibly it's one of those scenarios in our not so distant future on Earth, where possibly the government, while it still exists, doesn't have a lot of power. And they're up there at the behest of a corporation named after Goddard. And
a big evil corporation?
Yes, yes, yes. You wonder for a little while, but it doesn't take you very long to figure out that this is, in fact, a big evil corporation. And they probably do not have the best interests of their employees at heart at sending them where they're at. And as soon as they possibly make a discovery that might indicate they're aliens, things get really, really interesting. And we find out that the company they work for really doesn't care if they live or die, as long as they get what they want. So they send some more Gestapo-type people up to the station. And so the cast of characters expands a little bit. So it's really entertaining. If you like science fiction at all, if you like pop culture, you'll really enjoy Doug Eiffel's commentary. The story's told mainly in the beginning through his daily logs. See, they're required to enter daily logs of what they've done on the station. Now, it turns out that this is a way for the corporation to spy on them. They actually listen to all these logs. But that's how Doug is telling the story, because he's so bored, he's recording all of his diary journals, his daily logs, as shows, talking to his dear listeners, because there's no one out there in the dead of space listening. So Doug is incredibly bored. Goes on from there. It's really fun. I think you'll really enjoy it. And I really love all these audio drama podcasts. I've actually been listening to a lot of them. So all of y'all should expect me to start recommending quite a few of them, because I've been listening to a lot of them lately. And this is one of my favorite ones that I've been binging. So catch up before June when the new season starts, and then you can savor the very last season with the rest of us. But that's Wolf 359. You can find it at wolf359.com, but it's on all of the podcast catchers, iTunes, Stitcher, all of them. So check it out. It's really fun. And it reminds me a bit of Farscape, for the few people anymore who remember Farscape, where where with all the pop culture, with the goofy astronaut, with all the pop culture references, only Doug's not nearly that smart. But Doug has a dark secret as well that you'll find out in later seasons. But he's a little more layered than he appears in the beginning. So it's worth sticking it out and going through. But I think you'll be entertained. Most of the episodes only run about 20 minutes. So it's definitely a small chunk of listenable time in the drive to work or home, things like that. So it's really fun. Wolf 359 on all the podcast catchers out there. Great audio drama. I think everyone will enjoy it.
Well, that's going to be real helpful, because I need a kind of a good binge stack to work with off of a podcast. I've kind of burned through a couple, so that'll be pretty good. And if any of our listeners have in the past picked up on the recommendation to get Google Home, I'll just give you a little gift and go, hey, Google, play the Wolf 359 podcast. And if you listen to us, you're going to be not stop listening to us, and it's going to start playing that podcast. So. And since it's been a while since we've done a recommendation show together, I figured I'd go back to old habits and recommend music, I don't know, from the 80s. Just kind of throw an album recommendation out there, consistent with some of my passing. But you need to run to Spotify or some other medium and grab a hold of this and give this a listen. It'll be at a time when you want to listen to some pretty good hard rock and roll as far as an album goes. And what I am recommending this year is 1982's Blue Oyster Cult release, Extra Terrestrial Live.
I don't have that one.
I'm not surprised. But I'm a pretty big Blue Oyster Cult fan and I've enjoyed a lot of their stuff. As far as a live album goes, and they have not done many live albums, but this is outstanding. Covers a big swath of their work. It was recorded during the Fire of Unknown Origin tour. So they had released the Fire of Unknown Origin, and which had Burning for You, fairly big hit for them. And this was the subsequent tour to support that album and many other things. But it was recorded in a lot of places, including Poughkeepsie, New York, which, you know, you haven't listened to a great rock and roll song until you hear the leads. You're going, how's everybody doing in Poughkeepsie, New York? And so you actually get a bit of that through there, because he knows that Poughkeepsie likes their rock and roll. But it's an outstanding live album. Live albums are always a bit of a coin toss on what you're going to get. But the sound quality is great. The group is in great form. And as I said, it covers a big chunk of their stuff. So it kicks off with Dominance and Submission, which is off the Special Treaties album, which is a really fun song. And, you know, that, again, lets the crowd in Poughkeepsie, New York get along, a little sing-along action where they can yell Dominance and they want the crowd to shout back Submission. And it's a real happy song. So it moves along really well. But City's on Flame with Rock and Roll, kind of a classic Blue Oyster Cult song. And then the one that's always been a bit of a head scratcher for me, Dr. Music, which is a dangerously approaching disco. It's probably more funk than disco, but you know, it's got, well, you can call me Dr. Music, and then this kind of female chorus background, call a doctor, going in the background. It's really not your standard Blue Oyster Cult material, but it's kind of a fun song. So it's is if there was kind of a funk slash disco song to be created by Blue Oyster Cult, it would be Dr. Music, and it actually translates fairly well live. And then Red and Black, for our Canadian fans out there, where they talk about the Canadian Mounties being a police force that works with red and black being their color scheme. And so it's fun stuff there.
Cool.
Joan Crawford is another song on this album. And Joan Crawford opens up with some major piano work to it, kind of a classical piano crescendo type of thing. And then it goes, Joan Crawford is just an amazing song overall. There's a video available for Joan Crawford that they did at the time Joan Crawford was on Fire of Unknown Origin. It's a very 80s video with very 80s hair and very 80s clothing, which kind of doesn't do this song justice. So I'd recommend just listening to this live version, much better than checking out the type of thing. The other kind of neat little bonus on here is Robbie Krieger from The Doors joins them, and they do Roadhouse Blues, the old Doors song. And he joins them and plays guitar on Roadhouse Blues. So you get that. Of course, you get Don't Fear the Reaper, Godzilla, Veterans of the Psychic War, so a lot of stuff. But it's in Black Blade, which is another fantastic song on there. So just a bunch of the really, really cool Blue Oyster Cult songs, recorded really well, very, very cool cover art. You've got the Fire of Unknown Origin kind of monk that was on the cover of there, coming out of a spaceship with Egyptian dogs in front of the spaceship. So I don't really know what that story is supposed to be, but it looks really cool. So it's a great album cover. And some great songs on it. You get a little Robbie Krieger as well. And you get a Poughkeepsie, New York shout out. So what more can you ask for live music?
Yeah, that's cool. I was just looking up what Blue Oyster Cult album I do have. And I have On Flame with Rock and Roll, which of course has Don't Fear the Reaper and Godzilla, my two favorite Blue Oyster Cult songs on there. So anyway. Also has Kick Out the Jams, which I like.
That's a fun one too. So given that selection, you will enjoy this album because it has has many of those songs on it, plus some other ones that I think you'll end up liking really well. I'll be interested in your read on Dr. Music when you hear that, because it's always like I kind of like this song, but I don't think I should. I have no idea why they're doing it. But
I will probably like it. I'm sure it sounds like something I would like. I'm very eclectic. I bounce all over the musical spectrum, but I'm pretty sure they don't have cellos.
No, not that I'm aware of. They do have like a really big Godzilla head that comes out during Godzilla, but I don't think.
And that's pretty cool.
that's all right. And it wasn't for this album, but I do remember reading a Blue Oyster Cult album review where they were referred to as the Thinking Man's AC/DC.
I can see that.
It's a wonderful, I don't know exactly what it means, but I think it's a wonderful description, so I like it. So get the live album by the Thinking Man's AC/DC Blue Oyster Cult, Extraterrestrial Live.
Cool. I will definitely have to check that out because I have always liked Blue Oyster Cult. Because everybody knows Don't Fear the Reaper, but most people I come across do not know about Godzilla.
Really?
Yes. Most of the people, for a while I had that as the ringtone on my phone. And no one ever knew what the song was.
Which part do you have? Do you have that just the beginning kind of guitar start to it, or when they're doing Godzilla?
No, I cut it myself. It was on an old phone, and I did the chorus. And people had never heard it before, so I would have to pull up the full song, and I'd play the whole song. And I actually had people who had never heard from it, and guys my age who hadn't heard it. And I'm like, were you raised under a rock? I mean, come on. Texas, you don't know Godzilla? But anyway.
That's a crime. That is such a wonderful song.
I guess they were too busy listening to country to branch out. But of everybody in the world knows Don't Fear the Reaper, because that's an awesome song.
No argument here.
So I do not have a social media. You would think after all this time away, I would have prepared a social media recommendation, but I didn't.
Well, I do have one for this week, and a Twitter recommendation. And it's one of the longer Twitter handles. This probably has to run to the character limit if very, very close. So it's a young lady named Ty. She is a T-Y-E. She is has been a writer for a variety of different things we love and been affiliated with. I think she's even, whatever the newest Sharknado is, I think she has some affiliation with that. But she's been involved with some of the Sharknados before. She was a writer, a writing assistant, and actually wrote on Z Nation the episode where Doc was in the insane asylum with Black Elvis and all that awesomeness.
Yes.
That was her episode.
That was a great episode.
Cool. Sadly, I guess for the next season, she won't be continuing to work with Z Nation. But if you haven't seen the Doc episode at the asylum, it's magical. She wrote that. She was a writer's assistant as well, been pretty heavily involved with that. Very, very cool on Twitter. Super fun. Her Twitter handle is, and we'll put it in the blog post, but it is at Ty, T-Y-E underscore R-A-N-N-O-S. A-U-R-U-S. So it's Ty Ranosaurus is her, which kind of is a nice tie into the Godzilla conversation a little bit.
Yes, but, it is.
It's her, the descriptive name is Ty underscore Ranosaurus Rex, W-R-E-X is her name there, but the Twitter handle is at Ty Ranosaurus, so with an underscore.
Cool.
So very cool. Give her a follow and keep an eye out for where she goes next because she's awesome.
Yeah, that was really one of the best episodes that season where, you know, that season got really dark. You finally got me to catch up on it, and I finally did. And that season got pretty dark, but that was one of the highlights of that season.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that was right about, I think, right up shortly after that episode is where it became, where there was a lot less lightness in the show.
Yeah.
And that particular episode was just that wonderful balance of still the kind of cool evolution of the story and things going on, but also just a lot of really, really good fun that you've come to expect from Z Nation.
Yeah, it was fun and gruesome with a nurse ratchet and the whole thing. It was great.
Yes, and yeah, it was awesome. It was great. Yeah,
cool. Well, I think that wraps up our first episode in what feels like forever.
It's been a long time. It's so nice to finish a podcast and not have to go to therapy afterwards. So thanks for that. But yeah, so it's good. I think hopefully we've got the technology stuff figured out here and we'll keep on cranking on with the literature and sport. So we've made it through. And for the folks that have hung in there with us, just know Mel and I tried about every path possible as we were sorting through this technical issue. Rabbit, Skype, devices and all sorts of different things to kind of sort it out. But it seems like this recording looked like it worked pretty well. So hopefully we're back and cooking.
Yes. And because all of y'all know the story, I'm in the middle of nowhere and I have bad internet, but this apparently looks like it's a software or hardware problem on my end. So hopefully we have it fixed and we'll be back with episode 130 soon.
And our good friend Matt will give you all the information you need on the different ways you can connect to us, blogs, emails, Twitters, Skitchers, whatever, all the different ways. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com, or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Nurturing and supporting Sharknado.